tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 14th of August 2026 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Yes, it's Friday once again. The weekend is here and you know what that means. It means we have a very special guest with us today. We have Grandpa Dan all the way from Texas. Grandpa, good day, sir. How is life treating you?
I am over summertime. I'm over this. I'm ready to wind it down. I looked at the 7-day forecast this morning. It's over 100 degrees for the next 7 days. No rain in sight. And this time of the year, I get an invasion of fire ants that come in my house, and I'm constantly, they just spawn in random places. I'm ready for the summertime to be over, for it to cool off a little bit. Blistering heat, it just wears you down. Makes you want to go get in the swimming pool, but I don't think I will. It doesn't sound like a lot of fun. Besides getting out like that, I just burn to death in the sun. But aside from that, looks like over in Germany, the pool is closed or only closed for some people. I don't know. Not a very good segue, but I did the best I could.
No, I think that's a very good segue. I was just going to say, if you were in Germany, you wouldn't be able to go to the swimming pool and cool off because white people are not allowed in this particular swimming pool. And this article comes from Breitbart, and the headline is Diversity German Style, Berlin Pool Advertised Black Only Swimming Hours. A taxpayer-funded swimming pool in Berlin, originally pitched as a multicultural, open-to-all space, almost immediately announced segregated black-only swim sessions. The temporary Volksbühne, the People's Pool, project set up outside the famed Volksbühne Theatre in Berlin has caused backlash just days after opening on August 7th. The summer swimming facility was initially pitched as a welcoming space that would be open to everyone who longs to cool off in the hotter Berlin summer. Only now you're not allowed in there if you're white. I mean, this was supposed to be multicultural, but straight away it just turned into anti-white, saying that white people are not allowed to actually go in there. And this is an interesting topic. Why are they trying to get black people into swimming pools? Well, because we tend to have a lot of black people drowning. You may not be aware of this. I asked AI about this. I said, can you let me have the black swimming pool death statistics, US statistics? They say black people in the US experience drowning rates 1.5 times higher than white people overall, with disparities peaking sharply in swimming pools where black children aged 10 to 14 drown at rates 7.6 times higher than white children. I mean, that's quite a lot there. And they go on to say that this is a legacy of racism. Black people didn't used to have swimming pools. Swimming pools were segregated. And I thought, well, let's go and have a look at the British statistics. So I thought, I typed in British swimming pool statistics, black deaths. And instead of it being 1.5 times higher, they said that black children are 3 to 3.5 times higher to die in swimming pools than white children. So it's even worse in Britain. Yet in Britain, we never had segregation. We never had these segregated swimming pools. And in Britain, it's part of the school curriculum that you have to learn to swim. So how come so many black children are not able to swim? Well, I would suggest that the reason for it is because they have heavier bones and they have a smaller chest cavity. So if they have a smaller chest cavity, it means they're not going to have so much air in their lungs. Air is a buoyancy aid. If you hold your breath, put as much air into your lungs as possible, you can float quite easily. black people are going to have a problem doing that because they don't have much chest cavity space in order to put the air into their lungs. And their bones are also more dense, so their bones are more heavy. So black people are going to find it more difficult to swim. And for good reason, black parents say that we don't want our children swimming because we're frightened they're going to drown. So they have an instinctive knowledge that they're not going to be very good at swimming. Rather like a cat has an instinctive knowledge that it doesn't want to get wet. It might drown. Well, black people are the same. And yet white people ignore this and are trying to force black people to go swimming in this German swimming pool. And just before I hand it over to you, Grandpa, just as an example of this sort of thing happening, I found this article on BBC from a few years back. It says, a month ago, six African-American teenagers drowned in a single incident in Louisiana, prompting soul-searching about why so many young black Americans can't swim. When 15-year-old DeKendricks Warner accidentally stepped into deeper water while wading in the Red River in Shreveport, he panicked. Jativius Warner, 17, Takitha Warner, 13, Jamarcus Warner, 14, Latrell Stewart, 18, Latrevin Stewart, 15, and Ladarius Stewart, 17, rushed to help him and each other. But none of them could swim, and all six of them drowned. And DeKendricks was rescued by a passerby. So all six of them, I mean, that's a whole family that drowned there. They must have known that they can't swim, but they used to seeing the television. They used to seeing white people being able to swim, and were told, oh, well, we're all the same. So they just assumed they would be able to swim, and they jumped in trying to rescue their friend, and they ended up drowning. As I say, I think the reason for this is physical. I don't think it's got anything to do with racism. I think it's because black people just naturally aren't very good swimmers, and they instinctively know this. So Germany is really putting them at risk by trying to force them to go swimming here. I would like to know how many black people actually use this blacks only swimming pool. Anyway, I've gone on quite a bit there, Grandpa. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, it makes you wonder how many, because this is, you know, in Germany. So they're talking about literally people from Africa. You have to wonder how many will actually bother to show up if there's no white people there, because this, a lot of this was, we get through the article, some of this stuff started because they were showing up and causing problems. Imagine that. And, you know, there were conflicts, shall we say. And so they, you know, if the white people aren't there, are they actually even going to show up? The contradictions, because everything they tell us, by they, I mean the government, the media, is a lie, of course. So you're naturally going to run into these contradictions because they just make up lies for, you know, whatever they want to tell at the same time. A good example of this, when I read through this article before we sat down to record this show, my first impression was, well, okay, so we're doing segregation now, you know, so we're back doing segregation. Well, only if it's segregation that excludes white people, then I guess it's okay. They don't have any sort of actual fundamental beliefs. And I think this is a mistake a lot of people make. They're like, well, they're being hypocrites. They're the ones that are always telling us segregation is bad, but now they're wanting to do segregation. Well, it's because they don't believe in any of that. It's just, it's about pushing the agenda, and they just change these things. They change the definitions of words as they go. The contradictions are naturally going to pop up because they're lying. They're lying as they go. Now, you know, we had a similar, this reminded me of a similar case here in Texas earlier this summer, but it was different. What makes this different is it's a taxpayer funded swimming pool. There was a deal here in Texas at a water park. It's like a big swimming pool with slides and stuff you can go on. Over in Dallas-Fort Worth, and they're African Muslims, so some black Muslims, women, you know, would go, well, you know, they're wearing their big long coverings and everything in the swimming pool, and they would just basically sit at the kids' pool and soak their feet in it and everything. And, you know, it wasn't too big of a deal. Well, you know, this one woman that was going periodically, you know, she felt out of place. And so she had an idea. She thought, well, you know, of course she lives in a community and at an area of predominantly people that are Muslim and black Africans. And she thought, well, I feel out of place. So why don't we just have an event for just us? So what they did is they got together and they rented, they paid to rent this, this water park for a day. And, you know, they put up flyers in their neighborhood and put up a, you know, deal. We're having an event here and this is going to be for Black African Muslim only, a Muslim only event where you can come. And her idea was so that, you know, you wouldn't feel out of place. Well, all sorts of people got all up in arms about this. What do you mean, Muslim only? You're not allowed to have this. And I actually came down on the side of these people because I'm like, well, they paid for it. If I rent the water park for my family reunion and I say nobody that's not from my family can come because I paid to rent this, what's the problem? If the Baptist church rents it and says Baptists only, there shouldn't be an issue. But they whipped it up into a big deal and the lady wound up having to just cancel the event over it. And I thought, well, that's silly. She paid to rent the event. Why do you care? It's a private event. You know, it's not like it's a government thing. Now, this story is different, obviously, because it's a taxpayer funded deal and they're just going out of their way to exclude white people. We all know how it would be if the shoe was on the other foot. I guess my kind of point I get to is, you know, a story like this, they want you to start basically arguing against segregation, you know, because I read the story. I'm like, well, if we're doing segregation again, you know, cool. Let's have a day where the Black Africans can go have the pool by themselves. But if they're going to be fair, they should have a day where, okay, you don't have to worry. Those people can't come that day. This is for Native German people to come, you know, but these articles kind of wind up getting set up to where you're supposed to attack it and say, oh no, we can't have segregation. We got to have multiculturalism and everybody coming on the same day. I don't have a problem with them having a Black Africans only day at the pool, even if it's taxpayer funded. But of course that means if you're being fair, they don't care anything about fairness. The people that operate these things, they're going to have but next week we're going to have the, I don't know, only people from Turkey. Then the following week we're going to have only white German people day and whatnot. But they don't care. It's about pushing an agenda. And their agenda, even though they tell us it's about being inclusive and tolerant, it's not. It's about, they are the ones that push this divisiveness. They accuse everybody else, but that's just projection. They're the ones, because if you set up a deal and say, oh, only Black Africans can come, none of the rest of you people, but you don't do that for anybody else, you are literally pushing more conflict. I would argue, I think it's intentional.
Well, this is the problem, isn't it? You know, white people are only allowed to have multicultural swimming pool. We're not allowed to have a swimming pool session just for white people, heaven forbid. I mean, there would be absolute uproar if somebody was to do that. So we have to have multicultural swimming, whereas if you're black or minority ethnic, you get to have your own swimming amongst your own people, which, of course, isn't a problem. So why is it such a problem if white people want to do the same? And to be honest, it's an issue that white people should actually have this. I mean, just a couple of years back, I can remember a horrific case that took place in Austria. And I think it was an Iraqi refugee and he raped a small child. And he said that it was a sexual emergency because he hadn't had sex for 6 months. And that was his defense. And they gave him 6 years. So he would only serve 3 years of that before he would have been let out. And there was, again, there was uproar about this, and it was increased to 7 years. But just the fact, just that one case alone should show that white people should not have to swim with all these other people if there's a potential of that sort of thing happening. I can't recall ever of it ever happening that a white person raped a small child in a swimming pool. I've just never read about it. But I have heard about that sort of thing happening multiple times as far as illegal immigrants are concerned, in particular refugees. And this is a big problem that's been going on in Germany. As we learn, as we read further from this article here, the organisers specifically contrasted their people's pool with others in Germany, which have begun to require ID for entry following numerous instances of poor behaviour, including sexual assaults and physical attacks from people believed to be migrants. Supporters of the project claimed that people needed a place to go where anyone could swim without proving who they are first. So it's basically virtue signaling. You've got a serious problem in Germany, as it says here, sexual assaults, physical attacks happening where you've got people of migrant heritage in the same swimming pool as white people. And the response is to say, well, everybody has to provide ID for entry, because at least then that would keep out the pretend refugees. And it would also mean they knew who a person was if they did assault somebody that was actually in there. So this swimming pool's response to that is to say, well, this is a pool that everybody can come to. And then eventually they go one step further and say, well, this is a pool just for black people. Whereas it's not black people that are actually at risk here. It's white children that are at risk. However, while the Berlin Pool said that it would be free of charge and would not require ID, an announcement on its website this week caused a stir, as the supposedly multicultural pool would be restricted this Friday exclusively to black communities, Die Welt reported. We ask that you respect this collective self-identification and the spaces associated with it, the announcement added. But the organisers were quick to backtrack, albeit only slightly, apparently after recognising that restricting access to the pool to certain races would violate the General Equal Treatment Act in Germany, which bars discrimination based on grounds of race or ethnic origin, gender, religion or belief, disability, age or sexual identity. And of course, we have the same laws throughout all white countries, but it doesn't stop them from pushing diversity quotas everywhere, diversity, equity and inclusion everywhere, and advertising jobs and other placements for people based on the fact that they are black or minority ethnic, effectively excluding white people. So this pool has sort of walked back on it a little bit, but they haven't really, as we'll find out. They made some changes, but as we can see, really it's white people that are at risk here from having these other people there. When they have an exclusively black community at the swimming pool, I suspect they really wouldn't actually get that many people there, because as I pointed out earlier, black people are quite sensibly fearful of going swimming. And another problem that we have with these swimming pools is when you get migrants there, I've seen videos of them washing themselves in the swimming pool, which is quite disgusting to see, and other disgusting things that they actually do in these swimming pools. Not all of them, of course, just some of them. So it's not really, I don't understand why they made this specifically for black people. And again, I would imagine that you wouldn't have the same sort of sexual assaults going on with the black community there. You should imagine that it's these migrants that are taking advantage of white people more so than black people. I may be wrong, but I haven't actually heard of this happening to any black children, only white European children, unfortunately. Grandpa, what do you make of this?
Well, I got to back up. You got to love the way they frame this, because they talk about numerous instances of poor behavior. And then we find out the poor behaviors, physical attacks and sexual assaults. I think that goes a little bit beyond the realm of poor behavior. Now, you know, you were talking about families and so, and this goes back to the fact that in every one of these instances where all of these migrants are coming into the countries, whether it's Britain, Germany, recently is in the news cycle, you know, with Spain, and you see one common denominator. It's all young males. You know, you don't see women and children. These are all young fighting age males. And we've talked about it multiple times here before. Overwhelmingly, it's the criminal element, because these countries they're coming from are emptying their prisons and sending them to Europe. Reasonably so, because if they're going to offer to take all of them, why wouldn't you? So you've already introducing, you know, in other words, when you had these sexual assaults happening where they started requiring IDs at these other swimming pools, these were not people from Africa or the Middle East or whatever showing up, you know, a man and his wife and his kids. These are all, say, 20-something-year-old men, probably of a criminal element. That's why they're there, not in their home countries, showing up. Of course, you know, you're going to get criminal activity when you have that element. These are not people from these areas showing up with their families. We see it over and over. They show these people coming into these European countries or Britain, and 99% of them are men like 30 years old or younger. And we're just, you know, but the media will sit there and pretend like, oh, these are poor refugees fleeing from their country. Well, you think of refugees, you normally think of like women and children and the most vulnerable, you know, the elderly. And that time and again, that's not what you see. You see these younger I classify them as fighting age men over and over. That's the element that's coming in. And I think it's pretty obvious it's a criminal element because, again, you know, okay, well, it's not like there's not regular people with families that come from these countries. How come they're all staying in their countries? Where are these guys all coming from? And I suspect they're emptying out their prisons. And we've talked about that multiple times before. But just got to love the way they tried to just kind of hand wave that. Oh, they had poor behavior, incidences of poor behavior. What kind of poor behaviors did you have? Oh, you know, rape. You know, people being attacked. You know, but it's very poor behavior. Yeah, I would think so. I would think that would be a very poor behavior. And yeah, no, I mean, who's going to go? Are you going to take your family? Would you go to this pool? I don't care what day they have it on. If they say everybody can, well, you're not going to come. Well, people are going to go to the places are requiring ID or at least kind of screening some of the people. And you come back to these governments. And again, this whole story is, you know, I don't know, episode number 650,000, if you need it, of proof that your governments, if you're in one of these Western democracy countries, they hate you. You know, I mean, they do. The government hates the native population. There's no other conclusion to come with it. And they act like this migration thing, this invasion is what I call it, because, you know, refugees flee a war zone temporarily. And then when the situation settles down, they go back. You remember when this all started in 2015, they said, oh, these are people fleeing the civil war in Syria because they're oppressed by Assad. Well, the civil war is over. Are any of them going back? Of course not. You know, and they just forget that. You know, they just forget that was the last excuse. Then it becomes something entirely different. But yeah, nah, anyway, yeah, your governments hate you. They're doing this to their native populations on purpose. And they just all the time they try to act like this is just a natural phenomenon. You know, it's like, well, it's no different than if a hurricane blows up on the coast, you know, and comes in. What are you going to do? You know, there's nothing you can do. I saw recently, and I'll get wrapped up here, but I saw recently your brand new prime minister. What a shock of shocks. He's doing the same thing all the other prime ministers have done. You know, he says he's going to spread it around because enough rural communities aren't getting to enjoy the diversity of hosting the migrants. You know, they just act like, well, it's just natural. We have to take these people in. What else are you going to do? It's not like we can not let them all come in. And again, time and time again, they say, oh, well, we're going to put these migrants in these rural British areas and, you know, a little village with 700 people, they're going to get 1200 migrants. And oh, by the way, all the migrants are going to be what? Young fighting age men. They say, oh, well, we can't bring any women and children because it's too dangerous for them. But screw the 700 villagers that have been living there for generations. We're going to bring in these guys. It's just a natural phenomenon. You can't do anything different. Your governments hate you. Accept it, live with it, learn to adapt.
Yeah, people are particularly furious about that. I mean, the Labour Party keep coming out with, look, we've closed down 13 hotels. We're keeping our promise to you. And like, well, where have you put them? Well, we're going to put them in your village in multiple houses of multiple occupancy. So you'll have 20 of them living in a house up the road. And we're also going to put them in these army barracks outside these small villages, which I think is the one that you are referring to there, Grandpa, where with these migrants there, the village will be three times the size that it was. We've even had Edwina Curry today come out, this Jewish ex-politician, saying, oh, they need to set up brothels by these by where they're putting these migrants. Would that solve this problem of them sexually attacking the young girls? Which sort of admits that they know what these migrants are going to do. And they're literally suggesting that they build these brothels. Who's going to pay for the brothels then in order to keep these migrants satisfied? Well, you were referring to poor behaviour there, Grandpa. I've got another article here which describes some of this poor behaviour. Headline, Arabs, Chechens, German swimming pools terrorised by migration background men. And this article is actually from a couple of years ago. And even then they had a heat wave. What a surprise. Even the heat wave passing over Europe isn't enough to keep the popular public baths open as authorities react to a rising tide of violence, allegedly by migrant men, by simply closing the tax-funded facilities down. So their response is just to close the swimming pools down, not to say, well, no migrants allowed at the swimming pool. Violence at swimming bars, allegedly the work of macho immigrants, is once again headline news in Germany, with national newspapers complaining of coronavirus lockdown-like scenes with public bars, sometimes expensively recently refurbished at public expense, shut down to avoid violence. Several bars, notably the Columbia bars in Berlin, as well as others in that city, and some in other cities, including Mannheim and Karlsruhe, have been impacted. Die Welt laments surrender to a comparatively small group of violent men, with the closures and reports the contents of an urgent letter written by employees to their management, laying out the issues. The letter, the paper says, claims that violence at the public bars is the work of mobs of young people from Arab families, some of them Chechens. Well, that doesn't sound like a small number of them, does it? Mobs. The assessment appears to concur with the remarks of a top German police officer last summer, who said of those committing pool attacks that year, most of them have a migration background. German news magazine Focus cites the remarks of the chairman of the Federal Association of Masters Swimmers, Peter Hartzheim, which represents the nation's professional lifeguards and pool operators, who said rather than shutting down pools, police officers should instead be deployed to keep the peace. Hartzheim articulated the experience of his members on the ground that while the majority of pools nationwide remained safe and that while all were welcome to swim, everyone should obey the rules and customs of Germany. The problems emerged, he said, from the presence of different cultural classes, including many young men with a migration background and macho immigrants. So that's the situation in Germany. That's what's happening there. So they say, well, people need to produce their IDs. So this swimming pool's response to that is to pretend that that isn't happening and to say, we're not going to ask you for ID. This is a multicultural swimming pool. And I guess, as you pointed out, Grandpa, I don't think anybody would have gone to that swimming pool because of that. So now they've changed it and they've said it's going to be a special blacks-only swimming pool. Then they've been told, well, you're not actually allowed to do that. So this is the wizard wheeze that they have come up with. The new entry on its website for the previously black only day said that the pool would be reserved for members of the Each One Teach One NGO, which happens to describe itself as a place of learning and meeting for people of African descent. So basically they're going to get around it by saying, oh, this is only for members of this NGO, and the NGO is basically just for black people. But as you pointed out, Grandpa, I don't have an issue with black people having their own swimming pool days. It's just that white people don't have our own swimming pool days. And you would think with all of these news reports of these terrible things that are happening in these swimming pools, that would be something that they would do, is say, well, we're just going to have to segregate them. We'll have a day for Middle Eastern people. We'll have a day for white people. We'll have a day for black African people. Why can't they do that? I mean, this would solve the problem. Everybody would be happy, apart from those that were looking to predate upon and prey upon young children and young girls. I mean, all you have to take from this is, well, perhaps they want to help out these people that want to prey on these young children and young girls, and force people that want to swim to have to swim among these threats, these predatory-like men of African descent. Any thoughts on the descriptions of this poor behavior that's been happening in Germany, Grandpa?
Well, again, when this started, because it bears repeating, when this started, they said these people were refugees. And you notice their own rhetoric, they've quit using that word. I don't see them in any of these articles. We've done quite a few of these articles. And you notice that they've changed. They're not referring to these people any longer as refugees. Now they're migrants. See, it's a migrant crisis. It was a refugee crisis. So he said we had to let these people in because, you know, there's a civil war in Africa or something. Now they've changed that, and now it's migrants. And again, the politicians, because this is what it comes back down to, the politicians. This is the government. The politicians, you know, now they're saying migrants, and they're just acting like this is, again, a natural phenomenon. What are you going to do? You know, it's like the wind is hot and blowing out of the south. What are you going to do about the weather? What are you going to do about waves of migrants? They do this because people noticed. They said they were refugees, and people are like, these are not refugees. These are all young fighting age men. You know, all of these incidences we're talking about here, these are not people from Africa showing up with their families, because families don't behave like that. These are young men. Then why are they there? Young men aren't refugees. Refugees are the elderly, you know, the vulnerable people, families, women, children. Notice it's all these guys. Why, again, why are they there? Why do you have a government? I mean, seriously, what is the point? If a government is not going to keep, you know, your first order, the reason people give up a certain amount of, their freedom, I guess you would say, to have a government to rule over them is, well, the trade-off is the government keeps the people safe, helps keep order. None of these governments in these Western democracies are doing that. You know, they're doing the opposite. So why do we have them? Why do you have these governments? Because they aren't keeping the people safe. You have waves and waves, millions of these guys, overwhelmingly 30 years old and younger men, not families, not women and children fleeing an actual crisis. If you had that, you could make the argument, okay, we're taking these people in temporarily. But they can't do that. That's why they've quit using the term refugees. You know, if this was all women and children, you wouldn't be having this problem. And you could say, people would say, okay, yeah, we'll try to help these people out until the problem in their home country settles down and they can go back. But that's not who's coming. Why is it overwhelmingly these guys coming? Then these are the ones that are causing all of this problem. And, you know, the government has no interest in addressing it. That's why in Britain, you've got, you know, the Tories wouldn't do anything about it. The Labour won by default. They're doubling down on more of the same. And all of them act like there's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do about it. It's just a natural phenomenon. And you just got to learn to live with it. We're going to flood your town, your village. You know, yeah, you were talking about the case where they're putting them in an old army barracks. What got me about that story, they had the gall, they had the nerve to tell the people, well, we can't have any migrant women and children because it's too dangerous. But we're going to flood your town with it. For you, screw you. You're on your own. As I said earlier, I don't know how much more proof you need that your government hates you. When they say, oh, well, we won't bring any women and children migrants in, probably because there really aren't any. It's all these guys. We can't bring them in because it's too dangerous for them with these guys hanging around. But hey, good luck. That village, by the way, didn't even have a police department. How are they supposed to cope with it? And as usual, they're whining and complaining to the government, and they don't care. At the end of the day, the government lets them whine and complain, and then the reaction is, screw you, we're going to do it anyway. Why even pretend that your governments have any legitimacy when they openly mock you? And they openly hate you. That's just the reality. Sadly, it's the reality of so much of the Western world today.
I mean, you can imagine in some of these African countries that some of these prison sentences up and they let them out of the prison. And then they say, well, what am I going to do now? And they say, well, we're going to be following you. And if you do anything wrong, you're going to go straight back into that prison. But if you go over there, if you leave the country, Europe wants you. Europe will take you in. It even makes it illegal for people to criticize you for the crimes that you have carried out. Why don't you go over there? And you can imagine that happening. In fact, I saw a video the other day, and it was of a Moroccan police officer. And there was a Moroccan, that's African, trying to get back into Morocco from crossing over into Ceuta, the Spanish enclave. And the Moroccan police officer was throwing stones at this African guy, saying, no, go back. We don't want you back in Morocco. We don't want you. So they're literally forcing people, their own citizens that are criminal types, to leave their country and go into Spain. And of course, Spain is forcing these migrants onto the actual mainland Europe. And I saw a video the other day, and it was a Russian girl who had been living in Spain for some time, and Spain was kicking her out at the same time as legalizing 1.5 million illegal migrants that they nationalized and gave them citizenship. At the same time, they were kicking white people out. So you have this big magnet to Africans to make it into Europe, where they see that they will be treated much better there than they will be treated in their own country. If you bear in mind, in Morocco, the police are going to throw stones at them. Over here in Britain, the police are going to do everything that they're told to do by them, especially if they make an accusation that someone said a racist word. Getting back to the article here and talking about this Each One Teach One NGO, according to the Bild newspaper, white people are generally not welcome at meetings of this NGO. Despite this, the EOTO group is financed in part by taxpayer funds from both the federal and local Berlin governments, the paper reported. Well, I would say that's not despite this. I would say that's probably why it was financed by taxpayer funds, because white people were generally not welcome. They obviously promote diversity, and the government in Germany exists to promote diversity, just the same as the government in Britain exists to promote diversity. It has done ever since Tony Blair's Equality Act came in and said that everybody had to be seen to be promoting diversity. What does diversity mean? Well, it just means replacing as many white people as possible. Similarly, the People's Pool, as it is named, is financed by Berlin's Volksbühne Theatre, which also receives public funding to the tune of over 20 million euros per year. Look at that name, Volksbühne. The Volk are the people. That's the German people. So the German people are being forced to fund these projects, which are essentially anti-white, and to fund these swimming pools, which say no white people allowed on this day, which give out money to these NGOs, which are explicitly anti-white. You know, I mean, I'm inclined to believe you, Grandpa. And I don't like to ascribe malice to our governments. I think they're misinformed, they're misled. I don't think it's that they actually hate us, but I think you could certainly be forgiven for thinking that when you see these sorts of things happening, because you would think, well, if they did hate us, they would probably be behaving in this sort of a way, wouldn't they? But with the amount of incompetence that we actually have, and the amount that the white man is deluded, I am loath to actually ascribe malice to them when they do this. I think they're actually trying to do the right thing. They think they're doing a good thing when they promote diversity. They really do think that they're being very good charitable people when they do it. Of course, we know that that is not the case. That is not the end result. But I don't think the motive is to actually harm white people. Perhaps you might disagree, Grandpa. Have you got any thoughts on this NGO that bans white people?
Well, evil and stupidity are not mutually exclusive. They can be evil and stupid at the same time. Jesus said, by their fruits you will know them. In other words, it's what people do, not what they say, what they do. And you know, we can quibble about their motivations, but at the end of the day, if you look at what they do, if the government hates the native population, what would they be doing different than what they're doing now? I mean, I can't think of much else. Well, the people, so you come back to, oh, what do you do? You know, if, okay, you say this, but okay, if that's the case, what are you supposed to do? Remember, they need you. Germany, just we'll stick on Germany here. They're talking, pardon my French, they're talking hella shit about going to war with Russia. Do you think they're going to be drafting these migrants into their army to go fight Russia? No. They're going to want the native young German men to join the army to go die fighting Russia. Don't. You know, I mean, there's the hill that you make your stand on, you know, in my opinion. This is my opinion. You know, because at the end of the day, as much as they hate the native population, 100%, you know, I mean, again, just judging by what they do. You know, maybe some of them do, just they're naive and silly, but it doesn't change the fact that what their actions are doing, their actions are one of, they hate the native population. Again, what would they do different? At the end of the day, they do need you. And one of the primary examples of where they need you is at some point in time, they're going to need you in the army. Don't. Just don't. I don't care if they have a draft. Don't. Just refuse. There comes a point you say, why would I go do that for you people who hate me? And this is where they're going to get into trouble. And because, again, they're not going to, if you think these migrants are going to sign up for the draft and go fight Russia, for instance, to defend this government, you're out of your mind. So they may try to do that. The government may actually try to do that. It's not going to happen. Those guys, they'll just burn the whole country down. They're not going to go fight a war for this government. They weren't staying in their own countries to fight for their own countries. They're damn sure not going to come fight for Germany. So when that falls through, they're going to go out and do a guilt campaign and institute a draft and demand that young native German men go serve their country. It's time to serve your country. Show your patriotism. Don't fall for it. No, it's a psyop. Don't fall for the psyop. Don't go fight for these people. Let it burn. You know, let it burn to the ground. They need you. That's when it's time to say, that's when you have some power. You know, people that hold these fantasies of, you know, you're going to vote your way and vote for this other party, things are going to change, or these other fantasies that everybody's going to just organically come together and march and overthrow the government. None of that's going to happen. What's going to happen is at some point in time, because again, they can be evil and stupid at the same time. They're not mutually, you don't have to say they're either evil or stupid. They can be both. And by and large, they are both. At some point in time, they're going to get what they want, which is apparently agitating for war with Russia. If and when that happens, they're going to need somebody to go. It's not going to be Mertz. It's not going to be anybody in the government or their families. They're going to need the regular people to go fight their war for them. That's when you say, yeah, no, we're not going to fall for it. That's when you have the power. That's when the people have the power. Because at some point, the government will need you. They hate you. But at some point in time, they're going to want you to go be cannon fodder. And in my opinion, that's the sort of instances. There are times when the government needs the native population to step up because that's who they're counting on. And that's when they need to find that nobody's home and nobody's going to do it. And then let's see how well they do, whether they're being naive or stupid. Let them, they've sowed the wind. Let them reap the whirlwind.
Yeah, I think what Germany would end up doing then is the same as Ukraine, isn't it? I mean, it would just start rounding people up and forcibly forcing them to go through basic training. But, I mean, you could still cause them problems. I mean, this is the problem with forced labor during the war. I mean, if you're going to have force the opposing side to work for you, there's always a chance that they can just sabotage things. And I think that might very well be what ends up happening if they do start conscripting people. They could just end up sabotaging the military effort. You know, they can't lock all of them up because they want all of them to go fighting. So I should imagine they would have a problem, but that's what they would try and do. They would just try to conscript people, kidnap them in the same way that they do in Ukraine. Well, swimming pools across Europe have increasingly become flashpoints for the multicultural project, with multiple cultures colliding in real time. Why could that be? Half-naked people in a pool? Why is that going to be a flashpoint for the multicultural problem? Well, of course, because a lot of the cultures that we've imported into our countries are not used to seeing flesh effectively. They're used to seeing women covered from head to foot in a sheet, and they can't cope with seeing women effectively, certainly not in swimming pools. So that's why it's become a flashpoint, and it was never a problem before we had multiculturalism, never a problem before we had all these people here. But now it is a problem. Germany has been particularly impacted by such conflicts, including last year when four Syrian nationals were arrested at a pool in the small town of Gelnhausen after allegedly sexually assaulting 9 underage girls, including an 11-year-old. 9 girls sexually assaulted by a gang of 4 Syrians. You know, this really shows you the difference between effectively white people of European heritage, and people from these other countries that are flooding into our countries. If a white person was to see a white person sexually assaulting somebody, they would step in. A white man would step in. He would certainly step in if there was more than one of them. If there was a group of them, they would step in. Whereas what we see happening here is that any Syrian nationals that happen to see what's going on here, they join in. And this is the problem. This is what we have with these other cultures. They're not likely to see something like this happening and prevent it from happening. They're likely to see something like this happening and join in. And it's happened multiple times. We hear about this. We hear about two or three men raping one girl, and one of them just happened to be walking past, and the person that was raping her called him over, and he happened to be from the same part of the world. Quite often Syrian, but it could be Iraqi, could be Afghani, could be Pakistani. They all have cultures where women are looked at completely different to the way that women are looked at in Europe. Some swimming facilities have even taken to banning foreigners. Well, I should imagine that that puts them at risk of legal sanctions. I mean, you can't discriminate against people like that in the modern world. Including the Swiss municipality of Porrentruy last year, after a group of North African migrants came over the border from France to use the pool, but repeatedly ignored rules such as hygiene standards. So you could just imagine what they were doing there, probably scrubbing themselves, washing themselves in the swimming pool, using it as a toilet. Local media reported that local subscriptions to the pool soared after migrants were banned. So this is Switzerland. In Switzerland, they have actually banned migrants from a swimming pool. So it can actually be done in Switzerland, but it doesn't seem that it can be done in Germany. In Germany, you're allowed to have blacks only, but you're not allowed to have whites only. Grandpa, what are your final thoughts on all of this today?
Well, tying it all together with a point you brought up earlier about, you know, the Ukrainian press gangs, how they're grabbing guys off the street. You know, at some point in time, white men in these countries are going to have to grow a set. You know, I'm serious. If you're not willing to, you know, put up a fight for your own survival, you know, some of that, you know, we can sit here and criticize what's going on. But at some point in time, you know, you're going to own some of that if you're just going to roll over and let people do that. Now, in Ukraine, it's a little different because, you know, so many of the men are gone. They've lost millions of men. And, you know, at some point in time, you know, white people are going to, you know, to be blunt, they're going to have to form gangs to protect themselves. You know, they're going to send out a bus, a little van with four draft guys to grab you off the street. Well, guess what? If you're in a gang with 10 of your homies, let's get it on. Let's see who comes out on this. In America, you know, people say, man, they're going to institute a draft, you know, because they don't have enough people for the military and they're going to institute a draft. And I always laugh about that because I always say, no, they're not. They're going to institute a draft in America because it will light this country on fire. You know, I mean, because people are really, they're getting pretty much done with it. The whole rah-rah, what you saw after 9/11, that is not here anymore. You know, people aren't going to rally around the flag and go fight for their country just like Grandpa did in World War II. No, they're not. People are going to put up a fight, left, right, everybody in between. And of course, here in America, the population is very heavily armed. And they know this. The government knows it. They're not going to institute a draft here. It will light the country off. You will have not a classic civil war, but you would have utter chaos. You would have Black Lives Matter. Protests would look like, you know, a Sunday school get together if they try to institute a draft. The point being, and I realize, you know, everybody in Europe and the UK, y'all are all disarmed. But, you know, you don't have to be armed. You just have to have more of your guys. You're going to have to know your neighbors. And that's why I think it is important for people to realize, you know, the reality of the situation you're in. You know, this isn't the country that your grandparents lived in. It's not even the countries that your parents lived in. This is the reality. It shouldn't be this way. It sucks that it's this way. It's the reality. And again, what people are going to have to do is they're going to have to defend themselves. The police are not going to defend you. You were talking about just now, you were talking about, well, you know, people stepped up and stepping in. Okay, you're one white guy and you step in and try to stop these assaults. We've seen stories where the result of that is you get charged with a hate crime and you go to jail. People are going to have to adapt to the reality of it, you know, and what generally happens is people start defending themselves, and you can't defend yourself by yourself. So, you know, people in their communities are going to have to form groups to take care of it because the police aren't going to do it. The government damn sure isn't going to do it. At the end of the day, that's the choice that people will be left with. This is just basically looking at trends and events and saying, well, what is eventually going to happen is this. This is going to be the result of it. And I don't be surprised if it comes to pass.
Well, hopefully there won't be a conscription. We won't be forced to fight in Ukraine. And we'll have to keep an eye on what happens here with these swimming pools. I am encouraged by the fact that Switzerland just banned migrants from going in swimming pools. Because if Switzerland can do it, other countries can do it as well. Perhaps we might eventually see that happening in Germany too. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.